Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be with each and every one of us and give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know you better and know your will and help us to be alert and fight a good fight for you and shine for you, just like what we have sung. And I pray that you speak to each and every one of us. More importantly, help us to hide what we hear within our hearts so that we won't sin against you. And I pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in order for us to shine for Jesus, we need to be clothed with Jesus Christ. You know, it's not if you want to fight the good fight, Paul did not say that we fight a good fight with our own strength. The Bible never tells us that to fight a good fight with our own strength. The Bible always says that fight a good fight with the strength that God gave it to us. So, God did his part and we have to do our part. Our part is to be strong in the Lord. Last week, I talked about how can we be in the Lord. And this week, I'm going to talk about what does it really mean to put on the full armor of God. When people look at you, they see Christ not only live inside you, and you are clothed yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in the evil time to come, and you can fight the good fight. Point number one, do not turn back on the day of battle, but fight the good fight by putting on the full armor of God. What do I really mean by that? I give you some illustration. There's a tribe. The tribe called Ephraim. Ephraim is the second son of Joseph. Joseph is the one who lived a godly life, chosen by God, and to deliver his own people into Egypt. Unfortunately, Ephraim did not fight a good fight. Would you please turn to Psalm, right beside, don't turn back on the day of battle. You write down Psalm 78, verse 9. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bow, turn back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. They forgot what he has done, the wonder he has shown them. God did a lot of miracles in the sight of their father in the land of Egypt, in the region of Soil. And they forget. When they are on the battlefield, they turn back. They don't fight the good fight. The reason why I want you to remember Psalm 78, you have a choice. When the Bible say we have to fight a good fight, you can say, yes, I'm going to fight a good fight. You can say, no, I'm not going to fight a good fight. But I tell you the consequences of your decision so that you calculate the risk, whether you should follow and not follow. Okay? Now I say that one more time. Ephraim, supposed to be the second son of Joseph, the firstborn is Manasseh. But Jacob, before he passed away, he caused his hand to bless his grandson. He blessed the second son to be the firstborn, the firstborn to be the second one. And unfortunately, Ephraim now is the firstborn. He's supposed to lead the way to fight the good fight because he's the one get double portion of the blessing. Brother and sister, make sure one thing. When you get blessing from the Lord, you enjoy your life and do your own thing, God can pull back all the blessing, give it to someone else. Don't ever think, oh, Joseph has only two sons. The first one supposed to be Manasseh. Second son is supposed to be the Ephraim. Now, turn around. Ephraim is the one who get the firstborn right, firstborn blessing, that means double portion of the blessing. When you get double portion of the blessing, you try to enjoy your life and do your own thing, not fighting the good fight. I want you to hear, you write that down, Psalm 78, verse 9, the decision that you make not fighting the good fight, I want you to know the consequences. Turn back to Psalm 78, verse 67. Let's hear what the Bible says. Then the Lord rejected the tent of Joseph. The tent of Joseph, that means the tent of Ephraim. So he did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. You write that down. You write beside verse 9, you write down verse 67. Your decision always has a consequences. You can choose to shine for Jesus. You can choose to fight for Jesus. You can choose to sit back and relax and do your own thing. And then God pull back the blessing, take it away from you, and give it to someone else. I read that again. Verse 67. Then the Lord rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. Because on the day of battle, they turn back. They don't fight the fight. And then verse 68, but the Lord chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the height and like the earth that he established forever. Verse 70, the Lord chose David. David is the tribe of Judah. So the Lord chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pen. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hand, he led them. So what have we learned from the decision that Ephraim has made? He chose to reject God, and God reject him too. When he get the blessing of the firstborn right, get the double portion of the blessing, he turn around and refuse to follow God. God pull back the blessing and give it to another tribe. Jacob has 12 sons. Joseph is the 11th son. Judah is the 4th son. So he has 12 sons to bless. You understand? If God chose to bless you, you're the firstborn. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. He can pull it out and give it to Ronald. All right? Oh, man, that's no good, right?
So I give you a little bit more of the background story, okay? I want you to learn from it. Other than, don't turn back on the day of battle. You write Psalm 78, verse 9, and all the way, 67, all the way to 72. Whatever God commanded you to do, if you are wise, you're going to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it with your help, with the strength that you give it to me, with the blessing that you give it to me. And just like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gave me strength. Because he said that, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, and I'm ready to fight. Because I clothe myself with Jesus. Another illustration I would like you to give it to you. Sometimes you don't even know when the Lord going to use you, when the Lord going to reject you. You understand? So you have to be prepared. I want you to turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 38 and Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 28, the fourth son, Judah, commit adultery. Because his wife passed away. And then he had sex with a prostitute. And that happened. That prostitute is her daughter-in-law. That he didn't even know. Okay? So chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38, Judah did not live a godly life. So God rejected him. Do not use him to deliver the people of Israel. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down. Right beside, don't turn back on the day of battle, because you don't know when is the day of battle. Because God can use you to save your father, to save your mother, to save your sister. You don't know that, right? Until you come to the church, you realize you have to do the task that God wants you to do. In Genesis chapter 38 and Genesis chapter 39, there are two people that God can choose. Because Judah committed adultery, have sexual intercourse with his daughter-in-law that he didn't even know. And then he is self-righteous. He tried to condemn her because he heard that. His daughter-in-law get pregnant by someone. He said, bring her out and kill her. Fortunately, his daughter-in-law get all the sign that who she has sexual intercourse with, the staff, all that kind of stuff. He say, this is the person that I get it from. And he look at it, that's my stuff. I'm the one who commit adultery. All right? Fortunately, he confessed his own sins. But God did not use him to deliver the people of Israel. Whereas Genesis chapter 39, Joseph was sold by 10 of his brothers to Egypt. And then he served in the household of Pontifus. And Pontifus has a wife She tried to tempt Joseph to have sexual intercourse with her. And Joseph said, "How can I do such a great sin against the Lord?" Wow, the Lord heard that. He went away from this temptation. And that's the battlefield, brother and sister. The battlefield I'm talking about is not going to fight using gun. No, that's not what I'm talking about. The battlefield is how to live a godly life, a life that God wants you to shine within your own family. Because Joseph refused to defile God, refused to sin against God. That's the decision Joseph made. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. "No one is greater in this house than I am," Joseph said. "My master Potiphar has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sins against God?" Because he said that, he ran away, he win the battle. You know what happened? And God forsake Judah. Do not use Judah. Do not use Judah to deliver his own people. But if you read the Bible in Genesis, you see there are three tribes the Lord always used to deliver his own people. First one is Judah in 38. Second one is Joseph in 39. Another one is Levi, the third son. The third son, the fourth son, and the 11th son. Okay? This is a hindsight. At that time, they don't know that. Okay? But since the Bible clearly showed the consequences of every decision that we made, sometimes you feel good to make certain decisions, to do your own thing. But later on in life, you regret. Okay? Now I say that one more time. God's supposed to choose Judah to deliver his own people. But Judah did not live a godly life. He forsake God, and God forsake him. He didn't get it. But in Psalm 78, Judah made the right decision. Because King David made the right decision, right? He lived a godly life. So God chose him. All right? Make sure that we remember these two stories. Okay? Judah and Joseph. These are the people that God chose to bless. Okay? Now, as Christian, I want you to write that down. As Christian, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, "From the fullness of his grace," from the fullness of Jesus' grace, "we have all received one blessing after another." We all want to receive one blessing after another. But unfortunately, when we receive one blessing and then we walk away from God, does it make sense? So you don't get one blessing after another. Right? So once you receive the blessing, make sure that God wants to bless you one after another. The law, verse 17 of chapter 1, Gospel of John. Verse 17, the law comes through Moses. The law means Genesis chapter 38, Genesis chapter 39, and Psalm 78. Collectively, they call it law, okay? The law comes from Moses, but the truth and grace come from Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what kind of grace that you're going to receive when you obey God. When God wants you to fight the battle, and you're willing to fight the battle, you write down the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. Make sure when you're on earth, you bear fruit. Okay? Make sure you bear fruit. That fruit can last. Don't just bear one or two, and that doesn't last. If you bear fruit that can last, you honor God with the fruit that you bear in your own life, God gonna honor you. Whatever you pray in His name, He gonna answer your prayer. You write that down. That's the blessing that Jesus given to us in Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I want you to write that down. When God chose you, you know what it really means? It's supposed to. He chose Judah to lead in Genesis chapter 38. But Judah committed adultery. He lost the blessing. Then he chose Joseph. He write it down. 39 verse 9. You know why he chose him? Because Potiphar's wife tempted him. He walked away from it. He overcome. He overcome that kind of temptation. And God said, I chose you. Does that make sense? In the Old Testament time, there's two people, two tribes that God can choose. God can choose. Okay? That's why 38 and 39 put it side by side. So that you and I read the scripture, we understand God's will, why He chose certain people. Alright? Jesus said, you don't choose me. I chose you. But if I chose you and asked you to fight the good fight, you do your own thing, you lost the blessing. If I chose you, you fight the good fight, you keep on getting blessing one after another. Does that make sense? Right beside 15, 16, you write down 1, 16, and 17. Don't come to the church and relax. And at home, you don't even read the scripture. You know what? You know what Jesus said? In Matthew chapter 13, the first parable, you don't study your scripture, you don't study at home. When you walk away from this room, you go home, Satan gonna snatch the word of truth from your heart, and you will forget what I have said. 1 week time, you will forget totally. But if you study, you will remember forever and ever. Does that make sense? Do your own work. Do not be lazy. You can make a decision and do nothing. Just like what we have sung. Oh, church, rise and shine. Shine for Jesus. Do something. Right? Fight the good fight. And when Jesus see that, you fight a good fight, you try to honor me, and let me honor you. Whatever you pray in my name, my Father will give it to you. In other words, your prayer becomes so powerful. When you are in distress, when you have anxiety attack, you kneel down and pray to God. This person, I lead him to Christ. That person, I lead the Bible study. Another person, I help him to understand your will.
In the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I pray you deliver me. And he answered your prayer. Your prayer is answered. Does it make sense? Is it good? A lot of people, they come to the church. They just listen and deceive themselves. They don't do anything. Do not deceive yourself. Okay? You can make your own decision. You can choose to be like Joseph, you get blessed. You choose to be like Judah in 38, not Psalm 78, like David, totally different story, right? I tell you one more time also. If your ancestor lived a godly life, very likely you get a blessing. If your father lived a wicked life, you and your household will be in deep trouble. I give you another illustration. Do you know who's the first king of the king of Israel? Do you know who's the first king? Stephen, do you remember who's the first king of Israel?
Saul.
It's King Saul, right? You say King Saul? Okay, you say King Saul? What tribe is it? Is it tribe of Judah? Is it tribe of Joseph?
Benjamin. Tribe of Benjamin.
Tribe of Benjamin. So in other words, God can choose out of nowhere. Instead of choosing Judah, instead of choosing Joseph, all of a sudden he chooses the tribe of Benjamin. You don't even know. Out of nowhere. Why?
The reason why God chose King Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, because of that name, Benjamin means son of my right hand. Jesus Christ is the son of the Almighty God in his right hand.
In Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy your footstool. That's Benjamin. You know why God chose Benjamin?
When Joseph has the 12 sons, when 12 sons was given birth, Joseph's wife passed away.
Before she passed away, she named her son, this son is the son of my suffering. I gave him birth, and then I passed away. I lost my life. But Jacob did not like this name. Changed that name to be Benjamin. That name Benjamin represents Jesus Christ. Now we look back at the Bible, we understand. We don't meditate, we don't even understand why God is doing what he's doing. Right? God did not choose people. Oh, random. God chose. You know what Jesus said, 15:16, Gospel of John? You do not choose me. I chose you. Right? But when God chose you, you have to ask why he chose this guy. Right?
I tell you why he chose this guy. Because he's very tall. His family is a rich family. And that's what the worldly people like. Tall and rich. Look like a king. Right? Is that what you want? Because that's what the people of Israel want. Give us the king.
when the people of Israel say to Samuel, because the people of Israel rejected Samuel's two sons, because your two sons are not as good as you. Give us a king, okay? Just like the Gentile, follow the world. Is that what you want? You don't want God to be your king? You don't want the son on my right hand to be your king? You want a king? I give you a king that looks like a king. From a rich family, from a tall man, he taller than any other guy. So that when you fight a good fight, fight a war, you will win the war. You know what? The Bible says, when people of Israel fight with the Philistine, he's the tallest man. He's so scared. He did not even want to fight battle. Where's David? A short guy. He win the war. You pick the king. You want the king. According to Exodus chapter 15, verse 18, when they crossed the Red Sea, when they see that God closed the Red Sea and destroyed all those people of Israel, all those people of Egypt, they die in the Red Sea, and then they sing the song. At the last lyric of the song, my Lord is my King forever and ever. And yet, they forgot what they have sung. They forgot the word of God. They don't have the true buckle around their waist. When they face difficulty, they complain. They don't let the word of God to control their own life. You understand? And they do their own thing. You do your own thing, you lose the battle. You choose to reject God, and God chooses to reject you. And God say that one more time to Jesus Christ. You do not choose me. I chose you. He chose us to what? To fight a good fight. To witness for him. To bear fruit. To bring people to Christ. You know what? He said, you are the light of the world. You know, who are you going to shine first? You're going to shine to your father. You're going to shine to your mother. You're going to shine within your own household. Because if you are truly the lamp, if you are truly the light of the world, the first one get the benefit is your own family member. Because your parents see that your life has been changed. And he start wondering, I can't even change my son. And how come his life has changed? What is going on? Change for the better, not for getting worse and worse. You understand? So that witnessing can bring your parents to come to know Jesus. But a lot of the time, we are very, very selfish. We don't even open our mouth to witness for Jesus. When, as far as gossiping is concerned, we have a lot of things to talk about. You understand? But we don't talk about God's word. You know why? Because we were controlled by Satan. He shut our mouth so that we cannot witness for Jesus. We cannot speak just like what Joseph said. How can I commit such a wicked sin to sin against God? God said, you honor me? I'm going to honor you. Joseph wasn't even educated. He was sold to Egypt at the age of 17. And then he became the second in the throne after 13 years of suffering at the age of 30. He acted like king because God honored him. He suffered 13 years. You know how many years he studied? Grade 1 to grade 12, 12 years. 4-year university, 4-year plus 12 years, how many years? 16. Joseph suffered for how long? 13. through that suffering, he learned a lot of stuff. He learned how to manage his father's household, Jacob's household. He learned how to manage the Potiphar's household that he worked as a slave there. And then he was sent into prison. He learned how to manage the entire prison guard. And then he was released. He became second in the throne. He managed how to manage the entire kingdom of Egypt. In those days, Egypt is as strong or even stronger than USA right now. You honor God, God honor you. He chose you to bear fruit. Because he blessed Joseph. And he also promised, if you live a godly life, I will bless your children too. According to the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is a strong fortress. Not only to himself, it's a strong fortress even to your descendants, to your children after you. So that's why when God blessed Joseph, God wants to continue to bless Joseph's descendant, which is Ephraim. But Ephraim what? He turned back in the day of battle. If he knew that decision caused him to know so much blessing, I don't think he would make that stupid decision. He thinks he's wise to come to the church and do nothing. Right? I enjoy my own life. I look after my own household. But in fact, God's household was in ruin. And you think God will continue to bless you? I don't think so. Does it make sense? Reread the scripture. Make sure you get the insight from the scripture how God worked. Okay? Understand his will and do his will. Whatever he tells you, you do it. You don't come to the church when the church starts at 9:30. You don't come to the church at 9:45. You don't do that. Okay? Because you dare not do that. You dare not do it at your own place. How dare you do it in God's household? Does that make sense? Honor God, and he will honor you. Right? Does it make sense? Honor God, and God honor you. Quiet yourself. Come to the church earlier. Quiet down. And ask God to bless you. I read it 15, 16 again. This is a wonderful blessing. Because we all face difficulty. But in times of difficulty, make sure that Jesus Christ turned that difficulty into a blessing. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Circle the word, appointed you. Don't take it in a negative connotation. Take it as a positive connotation. I chose you and I appointed you. Circle the word, I appointed you. You write down Psalm 78. Just like he chose David. Psalm 78 verse 17. The Lord chose David, his servant. The Lord took David from his sheep pen. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hand he led them. I want you to write that down. Just like 3,000 years ago, God chose David, upon David, to be the shepherd. That shepherd is the second king of Israel.
The first king is who? King Saul. The second king is who? King David. King David. I chose him. I appointed him to be shepherd. I appointed him to be king of Israel. This is such a blessing. I read that one more time again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name when you pray, God say, I will answer you. I will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is such a wonderful blessing. Brother and sister, a lot of the stuff that we do right now, the blessing doesn't last. The fruit that you bear, if it lasts, you have eternal blessing. And God said, my Father will give you whatever you ask. From the day that you bear fruit until eternity, He keep on giving you whatever you ask. I don't know whether you have the faith to believe in it or not. I give you another illustration. Some people only want earthly blessings. Right beside 15:16, you write down the Gospel of John, chapter 6. A lot of people follow Jesus. It's not because of the miracle that Jesus has done. It's because Jesus feed them with food. Okay? Turn to Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 25. When they find Jesus on the other side of the lake, they ask Jesus, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous sign, but because you ate the loaf. Because you ate the loaf and have you filled. Do not work for food that spoil. That spoil. That means do not work for food that doesn't last. It will spoil. Didn't last that long. Okay? I read that verse 27 again. Do not work for food that spoil, but for food that endure to eternal life. Circle the word endure to eternal life. That is chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. That fruit will last, and my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. The effect of your work lasts to eternity. You don't work for food that spoil. You work for food that can last. When you share the gospel, you preach the very word of God to those who have faith, those who have belief, they get it. Not everyone hear the word of God, believe in it. Because Hebrew chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible clearly states that without faith in His word, without faith in His blessing, without faith in His promises,
you cannot please God. You want to please God? Whatever He says, you believe in it, you act on it, you do something about that. Then He's going to bless those, He's going to reward those who do it.
Turn to 11:6, chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith in His word, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Jesus must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
You know what I mean by who earnestly seek Him? Whatever He say, you do it. You don't deceive yourself. You come to the church, understand what He promised you, and you're going to do something about that. If you don't do it, you have to say to yourself, what do I lose?
Okay? Unfortunately, in those days, those people who followed Jesus, only for food they're spoiled. Do not work for food that spoil, but for food that endure to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. That's the word of God. On Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. I want to stop here. I want you to remember, when God say to you, I chose you, I appointed you, you say, thank you. I'm going to take up the task. But so help me God, I want to start the work and I want to finish it. Could you help me? And I'm willing to do it. Because He never asks you to do something on your own strength. He asks you to do it by His strength. Just like Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who give me strength. Our Heavenly Father, we heard what You have said. We don't want to turn back. And there's no turning back. We want to bear fruit. That fruit can last and last to eternity. And our blessing will last to eternity. Do not follow Jesus for food that spoil. Work for Jesus, that food doesn't spoil. And the blessing will last until eternity too. I pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.